Welcome to Win and In, the weekly podcast where we discuss Magic the Gathering news and strategy. Please note that the opinions and views expressed by the hosts and their guests are theirs alone and do not reflect the opinions of their sponsors, Hasbro, or Wizards of the Coast. Thank you and enjoy. Welcome back, everybody. Episode 18, November 5th, 2013. Welcome to Win and In. I am your host, Chad B. McKenzie. Jason is taking a couple weeks off to plan for a Grand Prix Washington, D.C., so for the next few weeks, I'll be joined once again, Alexander James Ray. Welcome to the show, A-Ray.
Always nice to be here.
Thanks for being our unofficial third host of the podcast. And filling in for a few weeks while Jason is doing prep work and getting all settled with the new job and everything. Great to have you here. On this week's show, again, an event-filled weekend with tons of stuff going on all across the Magic world. It was Eternal weekend over in Philadelphia, SCG LA, the TCG Player 50K in Columbus. So we're going to cover all of those, talk about all those. Going to hop into the Salt Shaker, break down a couple things, then we'll just break down our plans for the week and tell you how everything went. So let's just jump right in there, A-Ray. We'll start where the one event that happens once every year, used to be at Gen Con every year, Eternal Weekend happened in Philadelphia, hosted by, Top 8 Games or something like that. They were the ones that hosted the tournament. A lot of people showed out. They had coverage all weekend by Randy Bueller and the Meddling Mage himself, Chris Pakula. So they were streaming it all weekend. It was really cool to see all the all the power and stuff in play all day on Sunday. Joel Lim taking it down with a Merfolk in your Vintage World Championship. He is your 2013 Vintage World Champion. He won him a nice painting of Ancestral Recall with some cool art. What do you think about Vintage, A-Ray? Are you a big fan of the format, or never really been into it?
I've never really gotten into Vintage. I've had some buddies when I was back at Rose who would kind of mess around with some proxy Vintage and play that, and it always seemed a little too degenerate for me.
It's
Legacy is about as degenerate as I go usually.
It's funny, on the coverage they had a little bit of they had one round where they actually had creature deck versus creature deck in Vintage. It was really weird. It's funny that a creature deck actually won the tournament. He was indeed playing the new Merfolk, the true name Nemesis, as a chosen player. He had great draws all day. The deck's just so crazy in Vintage, all the Storm decks. And surprising enough, who did not go over to L.A. to play this weekend, good guy Reed Duke. Reed Duke in all formats, A-Ray, am I right? Just top 8-ing.
I'm all about Reed Duke.
Casual top 8 of a Vintage World Championship, playing the perfect Storm with all these draw 7s and everything. It's like I turned on the coverage because I was late getting to see it, and he's like mid Wheel of Fortune storming out. It's like, come on, man. We're like, you're just that good, you're gonna top 8 everything. Like, is he the best player on Earth?
If he's not, he's really close to it right now.
I think everybody will agree with that. If it ain't him, it's he's two. I don't know who's better than him right now. He's just on such a hot streak. The only other person I think could be as good or better than him right now, we'll talk about a little bit later when we're talking about Legacy. But speaking of, Joel Lim won with Merfolk. Congrats to him. Vintage is a dying format, and they only have one tournament a year. I wish it was at Gen Con again, but some people like it because it does take an entire day to play a giant tournament like this. It is like a Grand Prix. So it is cool that it had its own special weekend with its own coverage. I'm glad they had that. The Saturday portion was for the Legacy World Championships, won by Ari Lax playing Death and Taxes. A little surprised he wasn't also out in L.A., but he likes to stay on the East Coast, I guess, a little bit. And Death and Taxes is one of my least favorite Legacy decks just because it's so annoying. Hate Bears dot deck and just all the Flicker Wisps and the Thalia's main deck. It's just, ugh. I hate this deck, hey, Ray.
It's probably my least favorite deck to ever play against in Legacy.
And it's our hate comes from it's so good we hate the deck. Not that we hate it because we think it's bad. It's this deck is just very annoying. Like being a combo player mainly in Legacy myself, playing Belcher now for the last month or two, and used to be playing High Tide and everything. Like this deck is just a nightmare to play against. And there was a lot of Storm decks and combo decks in the Legacy World Championship, and he just rode that baby to victory the entire way. Didn't really have a challenge in the top eight, so congrats to him as well. I'm not sure what the painting was they gave away for that, but I know they got a giant painting, and of course, tons of other prizes and everything. So a pretty cool weekend over there in Philadelphia. It was nice to see them have great success, and I hope they do it again next year. I'm sure they will. It was just really great to see all that. Randy Buehler back in the booth was phenomenal, as always. So it was really nice. Moving on, we'll stick with Legacy. Star City Games Open Series went to L.A. this weekend, A-Ray. They played your normal Saturday standard Sunday Legacy. We'll start with the Legacy. Ricky Sider won, playing Rug Delver. Your typical Legacy top eight is what this turned into. Delver again after the Invitational has shown its dominance for I guess the third week. So
Delver's back. I mean, if it's not Rug Delver, it's this blue white red Delver that's been popping up, which is really, honestly, it's more like a blue white red Stoneblade deck that just happens to play four Delver of Secrets.
Yep, one of those was in the blue-red-white Delver was in the top eight, along with Jund, Esper Stoneblade, Blue-White Miracles, Bug, Maverick. Kind of an old school, like 2 years ago, top eight with all these decks. And for the second weekend in a row, William Huey Jensen, the Hall of Famer, he gets second place again, playing the identical Sneak and Show deck he played last week at the Invitational. I don't know whether to feel happy or sad for the Hall of Famer, the man who I think could be the only person to challenge the greatness of Reed Duke for the best player on Earth at the moment scale. Are you happy that he just gets second every week, or do you feel a little bad that he just can't take one down? Like last week against Brad Nelson, losing the mirror, and then this week losing to Rug Delver, and it was a brutal game. We got to see the end of it. It was kind of heartbreaking, because, I mean, Ricky Sider's a good player. He did his job, but you like to see William Huey Jensen get a W. He deserves one after how well he's been playing for like the last 3 months of his Magic career.
Yeah, I'm really, you like to see him win and you hate to see him lose, but at the same time, it's like he's still in well into the money and getting a lot of points to stay on the Invitational circuit. Which is not something to sneeze at in itself. It's obviously easier to get onto the Pro Tour, but at the same time, it's like I've been putting up consistent results, which is all that I can really ask for out of a Hall of Famer these days. Like he got let into the Hall of Fame, and then he just decided, all right, now I'm going to show you why you all let me into the Hall of Fame. Like, just been on this tear, like just top eighting tournament after tournament, weekend after weekend.
He may have missed one in here. I think this is like 4 or 5 weekends in a row that him and Reed Duke or one of them has top eighted a tournament. They're just both on a tear, and I agree completely with what you're saying. Like, yeah, he missed it by one vote 2 years ago, and then he, landslide into the Hall of Fame this year, and like he's a guy that he just loves sling spells, man. Like he's just gonna go out there every weekend and show you, like he's like a franchise quarterback in the NFL. He's like, well, this is why you put me in there. So I'm going to show you, you know, that I'm probably the best player in the room, and this is why. And he's just going to win and have a good time doing it. Just a nice guy. And he is huge if you never met him in real life. He's a large man. I mean, I'm 6'4", and he kind of dwarfs me. So very intimidating table presence. You got to you don't think about that a lot, but he's a very big person to play against. But congrats to him getting second again. Like you said, he's on a huge tear. Moving over to Standard, that took place on Saturday, top four, obviously, on Sunday. Benny beats Ben Lundquist, the pro tour player, taking it down with Boros. I like his deck. He should have lost in the Standard portion in the top eight to the Naya Control deck, the version of what Brad Nelson used to win the Invitational the week before. But his opponent made a couple crucial punts right in a row, and then after that, he just kind of cruised to victory, beating Esper in the finals. Boros Charm, too strong. Or I guess he beat Esper, then he beat Red White Devotion in the finals. Just Boros Charm versus Wrath of God is kind of strong.
And that indestructibility is definitely that either, and it's just so versatile against the Esper deck too, right? Like it's either, you know, it's either keeps all your dudes around, so after the when they Wrath of God, so that they or when they use Supreme Verdict, so that you don't just get X1'd, or you know, if you get them down to four, then it's like, oh well, you're dead. Do you have a resolve? No, well, you're dead.
His deck was pretty stock, though he was playing two copies of Azorius Arrester, white one for the 2/1 that just detains guy when it comes into play. Turns out that's really good against giant 6/6s that, you know, block every creature in your deck. And he was playing a Johnny Collar of the Pride main deck. Hasn't been seen in like a year. P. Sully even talked about it on the podcast. It was the answer to a trivia question. What, you know, he was forgotten for so long, and now he's back with a vengeance in all these Boros and White Weenie decks now. Flying is just super relevant because there's not a lot of good flying white creatures. So your Daring Skyjacks and your, you know, just a Johnny give something flying. He's just been really good, and it just cruised all the way through. It's like there people are like Anger of the Gods. He's like Brave the Elements. People are like Wrath of God. He's like Boros Charm. So he's just it was just a good weekend. Just turn a creature sideways. I love it. I know it pains you to watch Esper lose, but the creature deck's got to get a W here and there. And I like it a lot. I approve greatly.
It, you know, it's kind of funny. This looks almost like a block deck.
It really does.
It's with the exception of, you know, the Soldier of the Pantheon, the Johnnies, and some of the lands and five of the spells. This is almost just a mono white block deck, or a mono white splash red block deck for the Boros Charms.
It's just
literally the only things in the main deck that are
red. It's straight RTR block. It's just hey, it just. You would wonder, you figured this would be a deck that you would see earlier in the format, you know, before the control decks were established. We talked about this last week on the show, how the control decks have established, and now you expect a control deck to just win. Like when Brad Nelson won with his Naya Control and everything last week, and if you look at the all the other results from the weekend, like we'll move, let's move on here for a second. We'll kind of stay on this topic at the same time. The TCG 50K that everybody's been collecting their TCG player points for. It happened this weekend in Columbus. It was double format, modern and standard. And the standard portion won by Mono Blue Devotion. Esper getting second here again. Just it's kind of the first tournament in a few weeks where we've seen the Mono Blue deck do something again after all the black decks had taken over, and then these all the control decks established. You see the mono blue deck still winning in the tournament. Interesting format that they did standard and modern instead of standard and legacy. They didn't want to go all the way back, so I can kind of see why they did modern, but I'm not a huge modern fan. We talked about a few weeks ago how I said I like the format. I like the fact that you can play all these different decks, but the ban list has really just turned it off for me. And there's no good combo decks, really. Even though he was playing Malaria Pod, but I just don't feel it's like super strong right now. There's a ton of them in this top eight. Three of those, a couple affinities, just an American control, a domain aggro deck. All these random modern decks. It's just I don't know. The modern format rubs me the wrong way, Ray.
Yeah, it's, you know, modern's really, it's a format that it's Wizards' baby right now, and so they keep trying to find ways to push it. They printed Modern Masters. They printed stuff for, they made stuff that's probably good in Modern in Theros, like, and they reprinted Thoughtseize, you know, so that they'd have access to that again. And it just seems like no matter what they do to try to pump life into Modern, there are people who play Modern, and then a lot of people are like, you know, if I'm going to play Modern, I might as well just play Legacy. Like, the decks are, honestly, the decks are similar in cost other than outside of dual lands. And it's, you know, it's getting to a point where, like, it's not, Modern seems like they're sucking the fun out of it to try to make it fun. Like, they're trying to make it standard and a half, and it's, you know, sometimes that it's basically just standard for people, and this is what it's boiling down to, is it's a standard for people who want to play cards that aren't in standard anymore. People want to play old standard decks that don't have half the cards banned in them. They're playing Modern.
Yeah, I mean, it goes to 8th edition and back, so 2003, summer 03 is when 8th edition came out. And, like, right after that is when Mirrodin came out. And, like, and old Extended was wonderful. Extended, when it had Tempest Block up to, I believe the newest set out at the time was the original Ravnica, or the second set in the original Ravnica block, Dissension. Is that what it, was that the second set? Whatever set
I think
that
it's
was.
Guild Pact?
Might have been Guild Pact. Whatever the second set of, even through that whole block, that was a great extended format. Like, you could go all the way back to 1997. So you still had, again, you know, you had a little over 10 years of cards to choose from to play with, but, like, the ban list was, like, it felt like anything that was on the ban list deserved it. But, like, again, like, this ban list, like, we could talk about it for hours, what should be banned, what should be unbanned. Like, Ponder is just silly why that's on the ban list. Random cards like that, people argue that Jace needs to be banned or Jace needs to be unbanned. I'm on either side of it. You know, all the Cascade, Scape Shift, should that be banned? And stuff like this is just a silly format overall. Like, it's their baby, and they're going to just push it for the next couple years. And Modern Season is going to come up in January. We played Modern this past Saturday. I streamed all week, playtested Modern, just playing the Bogle deck, finding funny random decks, Twiddle Storm. We've been playing this for the last few days. It's just super weak, and, like, it's just funny that, like, some of the Modern decks are just so strong that you can play, you know, 8 hate cards against them out of your board, get one, and then it's still just up and wins. Like, when you turn to Rest in Peace, the Living End deck, and they still just beat you by hardcasting Jungle Weavers, like, I don't know what you're supposed to do. Like, how is this stuff happening still? And, like, when you see things like this, like, okay, this format needs evaluated, because if I'm going to play old cards, I might as well just go all the way and play Legacy. Not all the way to Vintage, like we saw, but might as well just play Legacy instead of Modern. And that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's just, you know, they tried to make, they had all these, I don't want to say excuses, but they had all these things they said about Modern when they came out with it. Like, you know, we wanted something that was similar, that felt similar to Legacy, but wasn't quite as degenerate, and, you know, had a smaller cost of entry, and the cards were a little more accessible. That's why they reprinted the Shocks. Like, regardless of what they want to say, like, we went back to Ravnica so that they could reprint the Shocks for Modern.
And that's,
like,
why.
And it's, you know, it's warp standard, maybe in a good or bad way, who can really say?
Standard feels healthy right now to me, but I agree fully with what you're saying. just and that's why I think they're going to reprint the Sac lands in the next block or two, just so they have them reprinted. Oh, we never were going to reprint them. Yeah, you were. It's like Polluted Delta and all that stuff. They can't be $150 forever. Like, these cards need to come down. Like, they wanted to bridge the gap between Standard and Legacy, and they're trying. They are trying, but I feel some of their decisions are just a little bit sketchy. But, I don't want to rant about it too long, because, yeah, I don't want to rant about that or anything. Congrats to Josh McClain for winning. That's a hell of a tournament to get through, especially if you didn't pay the 100 points to have the two buys and you hard weighed it. Like, I'm told that's what he did. He didn't have any of the buys. He just had 20 points and he hard weighed this whole thing. So congrats to you. Well deserved. Let's move on to the actual Salt Shaker. And, we've talked a lot about Modern already and, how it's a very bothersome format, but that's not what I'm upset about. As you know, this week, I was going to play in the Moto PTQ A-Ray. I told everybody on the show last week I was going to play in the Moto PTQ. Turns out there was a problem with my bank. They can't spell my last name properly, so I had to get a new card. So I couldn't play in the Moto PTQ last week. So I just took to back to my stream and just, you know, going to play some Standard. Going to play a little bit of Modern here. This test for DC with some Belcher. So I'm just testing. I'm streaming, and I'll have random people come on the stream, or just in real life in general, and they'll give you magic advice, you know. And you know, I've been playing for a long time, but when I ask for help or something or advice, you know, I'll take it. I have no problems with that. But like, don't try to come and tell me how to play my deck. And then tell me how to play my deck incorrectly. It drives me insane. Like, why would you come, like, you should play this, and this is why. It's like, well, I can't do that because of he's going to do this next turn, or he's going to do that next turn, and then I'll just get blown out, or I can't run these two cries out because you're just going to wrath the guy and I'm going to die. Things like that drive me crazy. Or, with what I want to hear your opinion on this, too, is when I'm playing a deck list, and normally when I'm just learning a new deck, I'll just copy a card for card. Like, I've been playing this not the Nye Control deck that Brad and Elsa played. I just copied it card for card because I said it was better than the Boros deck, and he should have beat Benny Beats when he was playing. So I just copied it, and I played against the Boros deck online twice, and I crushed it. And people would be like, well, I don't like that list. You should play this and this, this. And I'll explain to them, well, I don't want to play that. I just want to, you know, I just want to get a stock list. And who am I to question, you know, Brad Nelson? He's like, well, he's just a guy. They're just Magic players. They're just people, you know. Anybody could come up with a good idea. You know, it's like, well, yeah, well, that guy just won $10,000. So who am I to question his proven deck list? Well, and then people will be like, well, they're just people, you know. What, I don't care if you think they're just people. They're like, they're better than you. So why would you question their decisions? And that's what I really want your opinion on it too, A-Ray. Like, why do people think just because they, like, oh, I don't pay attention to the pros. Like, okay, so you don't pay attention to the pros. Well, they're on the Pro Tour for a reason. I mean, am I wrong?
No, I mean, This is a big thing with the advent of, like, Magic being a big streaming thing now, right? Like, this is the input, the ability of people to give you feedback and input on your plays and, you know, your deck choices and card choices and different things. And, you know, I talk about them a lot on my stream and your stream, and I think I've probably mentioned them before on the podcast, is I got to go back to MJ streaming because that guy he's literally only streams now. He streams Moto all the time. And
all he does.
So many times when people come into the stream and are like, and especially people who've never been there are the worst. It's, they come in, they're like, who are you? Like, and he's like, you know, I'm pro player Mike Jacob, went to the Team World Championships and won with my team, blah, 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 blah. He's got all of that information there to see. And then, like, he makes plays and stuff, and people are like, oh, well, you shouldn't have made this play because he has all these. And half the time he's like, you know, he may have that card, and I may know he has that card, but I can't play around that card right now. Like they're, this is why I can't play around that card. And they're like, oh, well, that can't be right. And it's like, you know, he's, and sometimes when he gets really frustrated, he's just like, I'm the pro player here, and
you're watching me.
Yes, that's it. You're watching me play Magic. Like, if you are so much better than me, go out and win big tournaments. Like, that sounds arrogant and rude, but it's the truth. Like, you can't sugarcoat it. And that's my big issue with, like, people on streams is like, you know, oh, you should have done this. And, you know, if it's me or even you, like, sometimes I make mistakes and, you know, that's just the end. That's just something I learned from it.
Move on. Sure. But, I know. I agree completely. But sometimes you don't. And you're playing well. And people are like, oh, that was wrong. You should have done this. It's like, why? And then you ask them and they can't tell you. It's like, oh, well, you know, they could have done this. Like, well, they could have, but they didn't. And that line could have been right if they had these two things. Or if I play her, like, I wouldn't have played that into a counterspell. It's like, well, I got to play something into a counterspell because I can't just sit here and let him draw cards, you know, for 10 straight turns. Like, earlier today playing, like, they're like, oh, you lost because you messed up. It's like, no, I lost because he Sphinx's Revelation drew 13 cards and gained 13 life. And he died, and I died with him at 1. Like, I couldn't do much more, okay? Like, he drew 13 extra cards. I'm supposed to lose this game. The fact that I was that close is just a testament of how well I felt I was actually playing at the time. And when people say, I don't like this, or that was wrong, and they just don't know, or they're just new, or they're just trolling or whatever, like, I love the streaming community and everything. It's a great way to play test with people across the world. I love that what MJ and the stream team and Cedric and all those guys are doing. It's just, but people need to, like, is it too much for me to be like, stop trolling on the internet? I mean, I'm sure it is, but it just, it bothers me greatly. And that's what I'm really, really, really salty about this week. It's just bad advice and people thinking pros are bad just because they don't know who they are. That's my big rant. Do you have anything you're salty about this week, A-Ray?
What am I salty about?
No noodle juice incident to report, is there?
No, I have been avoiding my noodles and my cards being in the same place at the same time these days. That is not something that will be happening again anytime soon if I have anything to say about it. Salty this week, huh? You know, I think what I'm salty about is probably something similar to what you're salty about. The same thing I'm always salty about, like, people just giving bad advice or not understanding plays, like, or maybe, no, I know what I'm salty about. I'm salty about playing, you know, I will admit that I don't always want to put the money into Modo. So I play on an alternative often. Those in the know what I'm talking about. Try not to talk about it if we can.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm tired of people who say, you know, I'm just playing for fun because this is free. Well, you know what? I'm not playing for fun. Like, you know what's fun to me? Winning is fun to me.
Winning, like, is fun. Thank you.
I may not be a pro player, but I'm trying to play to get better. I'm not just playing because, you know, playing Magic is fun. You know, Magic is fun. But you know what's really fun about Magic for me? When I win, when I beat you. Like, and when it's, you know, if it's a good game and I lose, I can take stuff from that. But at the same time, there's plenty of times where I'm playing against someone and it's a really bad game and I just don't feel like playing, or they're like just playing really bad and I crush them and I'm like, you know, if this had been a real game, like if you had actually been playing well, this would have been more interesting. Or, you know, people doing all kinds of different things on the internet, just not playing real decks, or like, especially the biggest thing is, one of the big things is not playing real decks when you like explicitly say, like, I'm practicing for a big tournament.
Yeah, the name of your room you created, the name of the room you created was competitive testing or Grand Prix / you know, Star City Invitational Testing. And they'll just like, do you want to play against my funsy, you know, my funsy block deck? No, I don't.
Like, they just bring in their brew deck and you're just like, I don't want to play against your brew. Like, that's, That's not helpful past, like, the X3 round, where that's not helpful outside of, like, the X2 bracket, which I'd hope not to be in.
Yeah, I don't want to be, I don't plan on being there anyway. I'm not going to play against this. Well, how do you know? Trust me, bro, I know. Like, it's just, it's very, I can relate completely to that situation. Like, I mean, I do the same thing you do, and I mean, Moto's expensive. Or when you get the people on your stream, they're like, why don't you just play Moto if you don't like it? It's like, well, I would if you want to front the, you know, $500 to build the deck I want to play. Or the $500 I want to build the other deck I want to play. Because I can just use everything for free here. Or, I mean, I draft on Moto, don't get me wrong, but I can't build every standard deck on Moto like I can on this. And, I mean, it is better to just always play in your play group, but sometimes you can't, because sometimes you have different hours. Like, right now, it's 5:25 a.m. Eastern time. I'm on nights, you're in Japan. We can play each other, but we can't always do that. So sometimes you have to play against other people, and it's just, it's very bothersome. But I agree completely with what you're saying. Just a big frustration. All in all, let's move on. Alex, we spent way too much time on that. Big plans for you this week, yeah, Ray?
Plans week, magic-wise, nothing too special. Maybe do some streaming sometime this weekend or something, or be on your stream. Who knows what the week has in store? Not completely sure about that. Got some real life stuff that I'm taking care of these days.
That's cool. I don't have a lot going on. I do have a new card now from the bank. Thank you very much. Had to yell at people this morning, but I have my new card now. So I will actually be playing in the Moto PTQ this Sunday. Starts at like 9 a.m. my time, which is awful for me, considering I won't be home until 3:30 a.m. Sunday morning. So it'll be a lackluster sleep day for me. But Moto PTQ testing for DC. Leaving next week, hopefully, to go to DC to play Belcher. I can't really do a lot of testing, but I will be playing Legacy Wednesday. We just started at the store every Wednesday. New Legacy group. The new Rose guys. You'll like this. We got a new group of Rose guys from your alma mater that now they play Legacy every week, and there's like 8 of them that show up, so it's kind of nice. A new professor showed up.
Decks at least.
Oh, everything's there. A new professor showed up who has money, and he's always played Legacy, and he just has like 8 decks in Legacy with all the cards. So even if you don't have something, he's like, what do you want to play? And he'll just bring it to you. So it's really cool that we have a Legacy scene in the area now, which especially helps me a lot with all my testing for DC. I've played against everything. Thanks for listening to the show, everybody. You can, as we say every week, we love the MTGcast guys for keeping us as an active podcast every week. Getting closer to the beginning of the year, we'll be doing a lot more. We're looking for sponsors. If anybody's interested in sponsoring the show, we'd be happy to advertise for you guys, anything like that. So just give us a shout. You can email us at the show, winandinpodcast@gmail.com, or tweet the show directly at winandin. You can tweet myself if you want to hear about me, how my week, any questions or anything, at Chad B. McKenzie. Tweet at Jay Goddard, my normal co-host who's always here. Tweet at ARay831, is that right?
Yeah, that's it.
If you follow ARay, same thing on Twitch TV for both of us and Jason as well. A lot more streaming's been going on, so we try to do that. To get the word out, we'll have our Facebook fan page up very soon, hopefully, so you guys can like us on there. We appreciate everybody listening to the show. You guys, everyone out there, enjoy your Magic Week. Good luck if you're playing in the Moto PTQ this weekend. Everyone, stay safe and have a great week, and good luck.